spoken is going to be for each and every one of us. It's going to be in our lives where we need it the most. It's because we're here that you're here to speak to us. I know that you have nothing to say except what's directly involving our lives. And I thank you for your truth. And I thank you for the directness of your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And preach this evening about what makes you the kind of person that you are. For two reasons, for you to know why you do what you do, but secondly, so that you'll quit blaming someone else, and thirdly, so that you'll know that it's not even you. James, the second chapter and verse 26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So what the Bible teaches, whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, is that your body can't do anything without a spirit. Now, that basically means when you do something right, it was a right spirit that did it using your body. And if that's correct, then every time you do something wrong, then it's got to be a wrong spirit using your body. See, your body's just as dumb as you are. It can't do anything by itself. It was never intended to do anything by itself. Your body was created by God so that God could act through your body. Your body was created so that husbands, God could love your wife through you. And wives, your body was created so that you could receive the love of God through your husband. That's the way God intended it. Now I'm going to show you how you screwed it all up. And I'm going to show you how you do it. And I'm going to also share with you that if you don't change it, you're never going to get it right, no matter how hard you try. I took the trouble and the time to go through the entire Bible again, and I listed all the negative spirits that are listed in the Bible. They start out with a particular spirit that always starts all the trouble. And it ends up with this particular spirit, which is where Satan always wants you to be. I'm going to tell you what that first spirit is and what that last spirit is. And then I'm going to tell you all of them in between. The first spirit you'll find, and you don't have to turn here unless you want to and you're fast, because your fingers are going to do a lot of walking through this book tonight. The first spirit is the spirit of jealousy. In Numbers 5:14, nothing goes wrong in your life. No wrong spirit can get in unless the spirit of jealousy gets in first. It is the one that opens the door for all the rest of them. The one that Satan wants in there, though, and it's succeeded until finally the one he really wants in there is in, which is the last spirit named the spirit of Antichrist. So you're going to see that the spirit of jealousy is the one that's necessary to open the door, and the spirit of Antichrist is the one that closes it. And when you have the spirit of Antichrist, there's no hope for you anymore. The spirit of Antichrist is when you finally get to the point where you know the truth, you know you're wrong, and you still don't care. See, it isn't anymore that you don't know or you're ignorant. Now you know and you say, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do this anyway. This is the way my mom taught me. This is the way my dad taught me. Or this is the way I want to do it. Even though I know it's not right, I'm going to do it this way anyway. Now you have the spirit of Antichrist. Christ meaning the anointed one, the truth of God, which finally you get to the point where you know the truth and you don't care. Now, that's an awful place to get into, but I'm going to show you how you got in. I'm going to show you how it's necessary, how your parents ruined you, and how you are ruining your children, so they'll end up just as unhappy as you are. And somewhere along the line, it's going to be necessary for a man like me to come along and tell you what's wrong with you and how you got that way to see if you want to do anything about it. You see, my purpose is not to change you or convert you. That is not my job. My job is to tell you how you are, why you are, and how you got that way. And if you're happy with it, go ahead on. It didn't change my life any. But I'll tell you one thing. You're not here because you know what you're doing. I'm not here because I know what I'm doing. I'm here because I need to be taught. Nobody comes to the Lord when their life is in good shape, or they think it is. You never thought of Jesus. You never thought of the church. You certainly never thought of me until your life was in the toilet. But the minute your life goes in the toilet, then you look for help. And the minute I try to give you the help, then you tell me how wonderful and how much you know. And I don't know how you could be so smart when you live in a toilet. That doesn't make sense to me. Do you ever get the feeling that life, you're just one handle away from giving it up? Just a pull of a chain and your history. Well, I'm going to tell you how it happens. The first thing that has to happen, Numbers 5:14, the spirit of jealousy. You see, in the Garden of Eden, what started? Jealousy. The serpent told Eve, God has something you don't have. And you could be just like God. And so could Adam. You could be as gods. But, Eve, if you make this deal with me, you'll be the first one that's God. So you eat first and then Adam. So wife first, husband second. Just the opposite of how God set it up. So you show me a family where wife is first and husband is second, and I'll show you a family that the devil is running. Because that's the way he screwed up the first family, didn't he? The man was created first. The woman was created second. Satan came along and said to the woman, eat and then give to the husband. You be first, and forever after he'll be second. Isn't it amazing that after God found out, or after God judged them, he told the woman, your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. He put it right back in the right order again. Now, you've been trying to get it out of order all your life, haven't you? And don't say you haven't, because I know you have, because I did. And I'm preaching this because I used to be that way, and you're here to listen because you are that way. See, God isn't preaching to somebody that isn't here. He's smarter than that. See, you might think he's dumb, but he isn't. He's preaching this to you because you're here. See, I mean, isn't that smart on his part? We got some jealous people in here. So you see, everything started with the spirit of jealousy. Now you look in your own family, and what's the first thing that you recognize in your children? Jealousy. What's the first thing that causes difficulty between husband and wife? Jealousy. It doesn't matter what you're jealous over. We'll get into that in a minute. But it's a spirit of jealousy. Cain and Abel. Why was Cain mad at his brother, and why did he kill him? Because he was jealous because God accepted Abel and his offering and didn't accept Cain and his. That's what started the problem. Eve was unhappy in the garden because Adam was first and she was second. So she went out and made a deal with Monty Hall. And that's been a bum deal ever since, and it still is. But you see, it always begins with the spirit of jealousy. And jealousy basically means to want to be something you're not. Now, in order for you to have the spirit of jealousy and you're a woman, you want to be a man. And the man wants to be a woman. So you let the woman make all the decisions, and that way she can pretend like she's the man, and you're following her, so you're the woman. So then you're jealous of the fact that you're not a woman, and she's jealous of the fact that she's not a man. And we're off to the races again. It started out that way in the garden. The first family was destroyed that way. And so is yours, and so was mine. And everybody's family that has any difficulty, it starts with jealousy. That's the first spirit. Right on the heels of jealousy, and we're going to be dividing these Sunday. And incidentally, we're going to home in on the spirit of whoredoms on Sunday. In other words, Sunday, we're going to be preaching to all of us whores. Now, the word whoredoms is in the Bible, and so is the word whores. Now, I believe God's going to preach that because we've got some in this church. And I know one thing, if you're not smart enough to admit it, I know we have at least one, me. So I'm going to learn about how I practice whoredoms against my God. And if you're smart, you're going to understand how you do it too, and then your life just might change if you start realizing you don't know what you're doing. Spirit of jealousy is the first one. This desire to be first. This desire to have, and you see, it isn't even a question of being first. Because the woman that wants to be the husband, the minute she becomes the husband and the husband gives in, then she doesn't respect her husband anymore and she doesn't want the wimp. She wants a real man. So she can start fighting all over again and beat him down to nothing, and then he's nothing, and then she wants a real man. And the husband is no smarter. He wants to be a wife. He wants a woman that'll take care of him, stroke him and pet him, lick him, take care of him, mother him. And the minute she becomes your mother, you lose all sexual interest in you because you can't have sex with your mom. You can't be intimate with your mother. It goes against everything inside of you. So what happens? You start looking other places for intimacy. In the magazines, in the movie theaters, and sooner or later on the streets. Lady, that's what you got for trying to mother your husband. He's no longer interested in you as a woman. No longer interested in you intimately and sexually. The beginning of the end of the marriage. But you wanted to be his mother. And he wanted you to mother him. And the minute you do, he loses interest in you. Now he's got a mother, but he's got to go out and find a wife, doesn't he? And the minute he does that, then he's jealous. And see how it goes on and on and on. The spirit of jealousy begins it all. You know what follows the spirit of jealousy in the Bible? The evil spirit. See, Satan wants to get an evil spirit into you. So the first one in Numbers 5:14 is the spirit of jealousy. The very next one in Judges is the evil spirit. And now 1 Samuel 1:15, the sorrowful spirit. Now watch your children. Watch, husbands, listen, wives, listen. When you and your husband start fighting over something, and it's jealousy, the first thing is disagreement as to who has authority or who should do what or who did what. Then there's the evil spirit, fighting and cussing and accusations. And then comes the sorrowful spirit. The one where you feel like you're so hurt. He's such a brute. See, you, but that's the way it was when you were a kid. You were out fighting and you wanted the toys that somebody else had. And then you would lie and cheat and try to get him with an evil spirit. And when that didn't work, then you got pitiful and you start crying because Johnny had a toy that you didn't have. And all the toys you had now all of a sudden didn't work. And you got a sorrowful spirit. And you start walking around crying and looking so pitiful. And who's the person that said, "Sweetheart, what's wrong?" Always. Mommy dearest.
Yeah.
Mommy dearest was always the one. She came with a sorrowful spirit. She came to teach you that being sorry is the way to get attention. Now, it doesn't matter if you're a husband or a wife. That's the way you were taught. Now you go out and you fight and you squabble and you lie and cheat each other. You do things to each other and then you're sorry. Then you have this sorrowful spirit. And the minute you're sorry, then it brings the love out of mommy, doesn't it? The minute she's sorry, it brings the love out of you. But you see, it's evil. It's evil to have a sorrowful spirit is an evil spirit, according to the Bible. You were taught that it's something to cause you to love the person. You know which one follows the sorrowful spirit? You know who always responds to the sorrowful spirit? The mother in the family, whether it's the woman or the... See, a man can be a mother just as much as a woman. Boy, can they be a mother. So see, the mother is the one who wants to soothe and nurse and take care of everything. Whether it's right or wrong is not the issue. The mother doesn't want to correct. She wants to soothe and nourish. Well, you know what follows the familiar spirit? Or rather the sorrowful spirit? The familiar spirit. Now, remember what the familiar spirit is, which is an evil spirit? It comes from the Latin word familia, which means family. The family spirit. The traditions of the family. How grandma used to do it and grandpa used to do it, because great-grandma and great-grandpa did it that way, and great-great and great-great and so on down the line. But you don't think of something. You go great far enough, and you know where you end up? Adam and Eve. See, there is no such thing as our culture and your culture. We all go back to Adam and Eve. Now, let me tell you, before you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what your culture was? Heathen. See, my family comes from the Mediterranean regions, from Spain and from Italy. You know what they worshiped before Christianity? Mythological gods, Pluto, Hades, Mars, Mercury, Ford, Edsel. Stupid, just things they made up in their mind. And then you go a little further, and what they were, trees and bushes and clouds. See, we're really smart people. See, they worship rocks. Bears, dogs, cats, cows, birds. I mean, without the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll buy anything. That's your tradition. That's your culture. That's what you're capable of. Anything you can't explain, you worship. That's human beings. They looked up in the sky and they said, what be that? Those are clouds. It must be God. And then somehow, accidentally, fire started and they say, what be that? Burns. That must be God. Anything you can't explain is God's fault, right? You're still that way, aren't you? I mean, if you're not going to take the blame for it, and he won't or she won't, then it's God's fault. Anything you don't understand is a God. Oh, familiar spirits. Family spirits. Family traditions. Family customs. According to the Bible, that's the beginning of the downfall. See, in the Garden of Eden, the family was God, Adam, and Eve. That was the family. As soon as Adam and Eve did what they did, God was out, because Adam and Eve were out of the garden. And Cain and Abel and all of us start killing each other right away, didn't they? Problems started immediately. You take God out of the family and you're dead meat. Just plain and simple, dead meat. Now, once you have the familiar spirit, and incidentally, that's why we have all the trouble in the world that there is today, because of the familiar spirit. The Muslims don't like the Christians. The Christians don't like the Jews. The Jews don't like anybody. Well, what is all that? Familiar spirits, family traditions and family customs, wars, people fighting and killing each other because of family traditions. And you see, that's why God said, call no man on this earth father. Get rid of your family traditions. No more earthly fathers. They have one father, which is in heaven. It's the familiar spirits that cause all the wars, cause all the difficulties, and incidentally, cause all the divorces. You see, my family, my father and my mother have been feuding. The Hatfields and the McCoys, they were feuding for years. Because you see, when they were married, they fought. And then when I got married, I fought the same way, for the same reasons. And then when my children got married, they did the same thing. So what happened? The same family tradition passed down from one to the other until finally one of them smartened up. Thank God, he taught me the difference. Now, as soon as you have the familiar spirit, see, you can't handle the familiar spirit, because you can see how your family lived. You can see how your great-grandmother, great-grandfather, your father and mother and you are doing. You can't deny there's something wrong. So we look at the familiar spirit and say, well, but gosh, that's mom and dad. That's grandpa and grandma. So now we need a spirit to help us deal with this familiar spirit. The very next one in the Bible, the lying spirit. See, now, these aren't just listed one after the other. I read the entire Bible from beginning to end, and everywhere in every book that a negative spirit was listed, I put it down in the order they appear in the Bible. And this is the way it came out. Jealousy, evil, sorrowful, familiar, lying spirit. Now, you know yourself, the biggest liar in your family, besides you, is your children. They'll lie about everything. Why? Because it's a family tradition. It's a family tradition to lie. Now, after the lying spirit, and the spirit of jealousy is in Numbers, the evil spirit is in Judges, the sorrowful spirit is in 1 Samuel, the familiar spirit is in 1 Samuel, the lying spirit is in 1 Kings, and now that you're lying, in Proverbs we find the haughty spirit. You have a right to do say this, and everybody has a right to their own opinion, and who do you think you are? I know who I am, but I also know what that is. That's a haughty spirit. That's that spirit that just, that can't lie anymore. See, you lie and lie and lie, and then you say, well, so what? Well, I didn't say you couldn't lie, I just said you were. See, I never said you, I didn't say you can't lie. I'm not telling you don't have the right to lie, I'm just telling you you are lying. And then you say, I have a right to say whatever I want. I never said you didn't. All I said is you are lying. And then when you say, I have a right to lie, well, then you're confirming what I said. But see, that's a haughty spirit that tells you as a child of God, as a Christian, you have a right to lie. Yes, you do. But then you also have a right to be lied to. See, and that's what you don't like. See, the minute you decide I can lie to whatever I want, that's fine. You go right ahead. But now, because you have decided you can lie, now you will be lied to. Nobody will tell you the truth. And that'll hurt your sorrowful spirit, by the way. And your haughty spirit won't come to your defense when someone's lying to you. But when you lie, that's different. I have a right to lie. Yes, you do. And I'm not here to take away that right to lie. But you see, when you become haughty and you say, I have a right to lie, no one's going to sit there. You're not stupid enough to sit there and say, I know I'm lying. And I have a right to lie, and I know that lying is of the devil, and I know that lying is wrong, and I know that it's breaking one of the commandments, but I want to lie anyway. And I'm so wrong, and I'm so bad, and I agree with you, Reuben, but I want to lie anyway. You need another spirit. The next one in Isaiah is the perverse spirit. I didn't mean that. It was a lie. I know it was a little white lie. See, I didn't mean it that way. That's the way they took it. See, now that's the perverse spirit that says when they lie to you, they're wrong. But when you lie to them, you didn't know, you didn't understand, you couldn't help it, you didn't mean it. See, see how one spirit follows the other? It's like when you tell one lie, you have to tell two lies to cover the one lie. Then you have to tell four lies to cover the two. Then you got to tell eight to cover the four and 16 to cover the 8 and 32 to cover the 16 and 64 to cover the 32 and 128 to cover the 64. And man, this guy can figure fast in his mind, can he? See, that's the way these spirits are. You can't take just one. See, we started out with just jealousy, and now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 spirits to cover the first one because you didn't want to admit you were jealous. So now you've got 7 spirits. Lying, haughty, and now trying to twist everything because you didn't want to get rid of the one. So now you have a perverse spirit. And this always happens when people come to church. There's people like this right now. You're in a perverse spirit. You say, who does he think he is? That's not the way I believe. You know, which is the next one? Well, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. Guess which is the next spirit? Spirit of deep sleep. Gosh, what time? I don't have to listen to this. No, you don't. Deep sleep can deep six all at once. It doesn't matter. You just have it. Because you see, you don't want to hear this. And you can't argue with it anymore, so all you can do is go to sleep. Because you can't argue with it anymore. Well, now the spirit of deep sleep is the spirit you get when you go out and get drunk, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah. See, that comes from the perverse spirit. You're out getting drunk. You're out to unwind.
Right.
You're just out to relax, right?
Yeah.
No, you know what you're out there for.
Right.
You're out there because you have to find someone just as drunk and stupid as you are, because they wouldn't give you a second look if they were sober. And if you were sober, you wouldn't give them a second look. So you have to go out there and get in a deep sleep.
Yes, for sure.
Now, after this deep sleep spirit, the next one in Isaiah is the spirit of heaviness, the hangover, the depression afterwards. You know, that feeling of, gosh, I feel so bad. We just had a fight. We just had a big argument. And now you're so depressed. You're so down. And that's when Satan says, take some drugs. You'll feel better. Smoke a cigarette. That'll lift you up. Eat spices, sugar. You'll feel better. It'll give you a quick rush. That's how you start getting addicted. Now you have the spirit of heaviness. Now, which one comes next? You're about ready to get addicted here. The next one that comes is the spirit of whoredoms. Now, what is it that a whore does? They give you what you want so that they can get what they want. And they don't want what you want, and you don't want what they want. See, you don't want to give them money, and they don't want to give you love. But they'll give you something they'll do it for the money. And this individual says, I don't want to give you money, but then you ain't getting no love. So then they give money in exchange. They say, I'll give you what you want, but now you have to give me what I want. And then she says, well, I hate your guts, but I'll give you what you want for money. You say, oh, isn't that awful? Isn't it awful the way men and women can prostitute themselves out in the world? And then we go home to our families after this and say, I ain't going to bed with you. You looked mean to me and you didn't. No, I've got a headache tonight. Oh, but sweetheart, I was going to take you out tomorrow. We're going out to dinner and I'm going to buy you that new. Oh, lover boy. All of a sudden, he looks good to you again. Whore. You too, whoremonger, because, see, if she didn't want to do that, how come you offered her the prize? How come you offered her a dress? How come you offered her what she wanted so that you could get from her what she didn't want to give you without that, whoremonger? And lady, I ain't got no pity on you because you're a whore. See, God says this is the spirit of whoredoms. Get off the people down on Broadway. They're whores and they know they're whores. I go down there and say, whore, says, so what? They don't care. They already know they're whores. It's right here where you don't know you're a whore. And you don't know you're a whoremonger. He said, what you talking about, Willis? Talking to you. That's who I'm talking to. You who will not do what's right unless you get what you want first. You who set standards and said, this is what has to happen or I'm not going to be a wife. I'm not going to be a husband. And then your children say, well, if I don't get that toy, and if I don't get this, and I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that. And then you raise a bunch of little whores, don't you? See, the spirit takes over your entire family. Now, nobody will do anything unless they get what they want first. See, you have to put the money on the table first. We don't take Visa, MasterCard, and we don't leave home without it, do we? See, this has become strictly business, isn't it? I'm telling you something. Of all the families that I counsel with, and it's all of you, at one time or another, if not yet, there was whoredom going on in your family. withholding what belonged to your wife because she wasn't acting the way you wanted her to act. Withholding authority for her to make the decisions that she should make. Withholding from her the integrity that she belongs to her as a woman, as a human being, as a child of God. You wouldn't give that to her unless she acted a certain way. And then when she did, you called her a whore. Because she wouldn't do it unless you paid her. And then she doesn't accept you unless you act a certain way. You have to do certain things a certain way. Well, we get tied up in the spirit of whoredoms, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And right after that, what comes? The unclean spirit. Now, you go out there on the street and ask them, what happens? What's your biggest fear, lady? What's your biggest fear, man, when you go down and deal with the spirit of whoredoms? Uncleanness, AIDS, syphilis, gonorrhea, and every other unmentioned diseases they haven't even figured out yet. So what always follows whoredoms? The unclean spirit. Now you see that happening out there, but you don't see in your family that when a husband and a wife withhold from each other unless they get the payment they want, you know what always happens? Sickness and disease. Things start going wrong physically in the family. The children start getting sick. You're not quite what you used to be. It's the unclean spirit. It always follows the spirit of whoredoms. Why do you think out in the street there, they require wherever prostitution is legal, they require those people to go to the doctor periodically to get checked? Why? Because they know what comes, the unclean spirit. Now, once you deal with the unclean spirit, the next one is the deaf and dumb spirit. We don't know and we don't care. See, once you have the unclean spirit, you can't hear what I'm saying. Some of you have the deaf spirit right now. You can't hear this. But I thank God for this. Deaf and dumb go together. You can't talk about it either, can you? You might try after you leave here and try to say, well, what was he talking about? You won't be able to, because it's a deaf and dumb spirit. And then following that is the foul spirit. A foul spirit is an interesting spirit. You know what a foul is when you're playing a game? It means to break the rules, doesn't it? It means that don't count. It means you don't get any points for this. It means you're out of bounds. It means you're wrong. It means you're not playing the game right. Now, how many foul spirits do we have in our families? Well, you're not playing the game according to the rules. When you're up to bat, the rules are 25 strikes per batter. When you're batting. When she's batting, one ball and you're out. That's a foul spirit. But after the foul spirit and the deaf and dumb spirit, some things start happening in you and your family. The next one in Luke is the spirit of infirmity. That's when physical sickness starts showing up. That's when you just can't seem to get up in the morning the way you used to. That's when you go to the doctor more than you used to. Things start going wrong. You have the spirit of infirmity now. And look how it all started, because you weren't willing to admit you were jealous. You weren't willing to admit you were seeking and coveting a position that didn't belong to you. You weren't willing to admit that you wanted to be something you were not. You were jealous of someone who was something or somebody, and you wanted to be that something or somebody. And look what it's costing you for the want of that one spirit. Now you have the spirit of infirmity. Now, an interesting thing happens after the spirit of infirmity. That's when people, like I say, you start getting sick. Infirmity means to become weak. Your marriage isn't as strong as it used to be. You're not as strong as you used to be. Your marriage can't stand the arguments as well as it used to. Why? Because it's got the spirit of infirmity. Your body can't take what it... Say, I can't take this man anymore. One more argument, one more, and she nags me. If she doesn't do the dishes, I can't take it anymore. What's that? You're getting weak, aren't you? You're getting weak. You're getting the spirit of infirmity. You've had it up to here. You've become infirm. Now, an interesting thing happens at the spirit of infirmity. Because you see, that's when you can't deny anymore. Everything I've told you is starting to come true. So now the next spirit comes in to try to save you. You say, what does Reuben know? So the next spirit we find in Acts, the spirit of divination. That's when you sit there and meditate and you decide what's right and wrong. And you get this inspiration from God without ever reading the Bible, without ever studying, without ever preaching, without ever counseling. You know more than I do. Well, why? Through the spirit of divination. It's just a feeling that you have. Something, you've got feelings, but you've got nothing more than feelings. See, that's the spirit of divination. It means you ain't got a leg to stand on. All you have is feelings. Well, you see, God says that makes you. Remember when God told the serpent, he says, on your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. You're going to be a deaf, dumb spirit. You can't see, you can't hear, and you can't talk. Now, you go home tonight, and if you've got cockroaches, check one out. Turn the light on real quick and watch them. They can't hear, can they? And they can't talk, can they? And how do they get along? With feelers. They've got long pointed things that are always going, when they bump into that, whenever their feelings are hurt, they know there's a wall. Whenever their feelings touch something else, they know something's there. That's you. You're a bug. I can't talk to you. I can't make sense to you because you don't have this. You have a deaf spirit. You can't make sense to me because you have a dumb spirit. So the only thing you can do is get your feelings hurt. That's the only way anyone can deal with you is through feelings. And you see, that's a spirit from the devil. It's the spirit of divination. And after the spirit of divination, where you start thinking you know, comes the next one, the spirit of bondage. Which means now you are hooked on what you thought you knew. And nobody or nothing on the face of this earth can break that bondage that you have except the Lord Jesus Christ. You become addicted to what you thought. You're addicted to your feelings. You cry just like this. You get mad just like that. You get happy just like this. You get sad just like this. Your system is up and down, and you're getting sick. Because you're in bondage now. You're addicted. Now, the manifestation is, some people get manifest with drugs, with alcohol, with anger, with depression, with food. It doesn't matter what the addiction is. The fact of the matter is, without the spirit of bondage, you can't be addicted to anything. Now, understand this. If you have an addiction, I don't care what it is for. Food, something as simple as food, it's because of the spirit of bondage. And it's because of all these spirits we've just talked about, what started with the spirit of jealousy. So now with the spirit of bondage, you think, well, there's nothing that can be done. We're just going to try to change. And one of these days, the Lord will see fit and I'll change. So now comes the spirit of slumber. Slumber and sleep are different, by the way. Slumber is when you walk around awake, but not awake. You're walking around, but you don't see anything. I didn't know that. Huh? See, the spirit of slumber. Now, all of a sudden, you can't see what's in front of you. And the very next one that comes after that is the spirit of fear. Now, when you have the spirit of fear, let me tell you something. When a person has the spirit of fear, there's nothing you can do for them to try to get them out of that spirit except the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because if you speak to them gruff, they're afraid. If you speak to them nice, they're afraid. If you do good things for them, they're afraid. Oh, I'm afraid he's just trying, or you're just trying to get on the good side of me. Oh, no, no, no. Afraid of everything. You can't do anything See, they're afraid of everything. So as a result, there's nothing you can do to please them. There's nothing you can do to change them. What we have to do is go back to jealousy and start there and put that right, and then all of a sudden everything gets right. But if you don't deal with it at fear, the last spirit named in the Bible, the one we're talking about, the spirit of Antichrist. That's when you sit in a church like this and you learn all of these things and there are certain areas you say, I don't care. I'm not going to change this. Now, I am talking about acquired tastes. I'm not talking about normal actions, normal things. I'm talking about the spirit of Antichrist, that spirit in you when you finally learn the truth, there are no more excuses. You just choose to do it anyway. And you see, it takes you from jealousy to Antichrist. Now, I'm going to take 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, to deal with jealousy. Sunday, we're going to deal with all the rest of them. And I'm going to show you how each one, starting with jealousy, makes you worse. I'm going to show you how to apply it to your life. You're going to be able to see exactly which one of these spirits has got a hold of you the most right now, depending on how you act. But it all started with the spirit of jealousy. Now, the spirit of jealousy basically means, by definition, to be resentfully suspicious of a rival. Now, there can be no jealousy between two people unless one of them considers the other one a rival. Now, if a husband and a wife, who are supposed to be one flesh, are fighting for superiority, I want to do it this way, I want to do it that way, then you have two rivals, don't you? Now, how do you solve two rivals trying to say, I want to do it my way, and she says, I want to do it my way? A person like me comes on the scene and says, why don't we all do it his way? Then we're not doing it your way, ma'am, and we're not doing it his way, so nobody loses. The wife doesn't have to say, well, you were right, and I hate when you're right. I hate to give in to my husband. I'm not asking you to give in to your husband. The husband says, I hate to give in to my wife. I'm not asking you to give in to your wife. What I'm telling you is you're just as wrong as she is. She's just as wrong as you are. What I'm saying is, why don't we both do it his way? Now, there's no rival in the marriage. And if there's no rival, there's no jealousy. Now, I'm going to show you how to solve this in your family as well, with the children. As long as they're rivals, there's going to be jealousy. Now, how do you make rivals? How do you make children hate each other and be jealous? Give one special attention over the other one. Give one a little more than the other one. Punish this one a little bit different than you do that one. Make a little more concession for this one than you do for that one. And you've created a rivalry. And now you've opened the door to jealousy. And now you've opened the door to every wrong spirit in that poor little child's life. And that child was innocent, just like you were one day. And how did it happen? You make rivals. And why are the children rivals? Why are they trying to solve their own problems? Because you ain't man enough to do it yourself. You can't even solve the problem between you and your wife, much less between your children. Well, why is it? Because you think that the way to solve it is rivalry. And rival means to be against one another. And that's why you have a wrong marriage, because there's rivalry. And what is the rivalry? It's the husband against the wife. Well, what's the feud? What's the rivalry about? Well, this is the way my mom and dad taught me. And this is the way I want to do it. Oh, wait a minute. This is the way my mammy and pappy taught me. And this is the way I want to do it. Well, see, now you have two people fighting with one another over what two other people think, which is what over two other people thought, and so on back down the line. And I'm saying, wait a minute, as long as there's two people thinking, we're going to have a rivalry. Now, if two people thinking is what causes the problem, what do we need? One person to do the thinking. Oh, here it comes. Wives can't think, the husbands have to do. I didn't say that. I said one person doing the thinking. And who was that? Jesus Christ. So see, you don't say, well, I think this. I say, well, what does the Word say? What does the Word say about what should I do with my... Well, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, which means push comes to shove. Put back what you want to do. What you want to do is second to what she wants to do. You sacrifice. Well, she'll take advantage of me. Let her try. The minute she starts using that to take advantage of you, she'll have God on her case right now. If that wasn't true, look how you would all take advantage of me. I always put myself second to what you want. Always. Now, if you could take advantage of that, you would have. But you can't. Why? Because I refuse to be your rival. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to fight with you. And I'm not going to justify what I believe. I believe it because Jesus said so. That's good enough for me. And if you don't believe it, then your argument is with him, not with me. I don't want you to be my rival. I love you. You're part of my family. We're supposed to take care of one another. And you want to be a rival so that we can have jealousy. Self. Man, this guy can make you mad. See, you have to have someone say, I'll fight with you. I'll be your rival. Husbands, you want to help your wife? Don't be a rival anymore. You see, the minute you become rivals, you open up the door for jealousy. Resentfully suspicious of a rival. Well, you can't be resentfully suspicious of a rival if there's no rival. So you see, it's these things that we bring to marriages, two opinions, two ways, two different ways. Now, when you put two different ways together and make them try to work with one, obviously it can't work two ways with one of you. It can't be. There has to be one way. Now, if it's the wife's way, then the husband is going to get resentful. You're going to lose your husband. Husband, if you win and it becomes your way, your wife's going to get resentful. You're going to lose your wife. Either way, you're going to lose. So there's only one way. Your way is out, her way is out, and we go for the way, Jesus Christ. The only way. That removes the rival. That removes the first spirit by which no one else can stay without this one. This is the one that you got to have to keep the rest. You get rid of this one and the rest of them have to go because they have no basis. The basis is jealousy. The basis is to hate each other. And without that, if there's no hate, then there's love, right? Now, Satan is jealousy and God is what? Love. So now, without a rival, there's no resentment. There's no jealousy, so there's none of these wrong spirits. But let me tell you what else jealousy means so that you can understand how important it is in your family. If you have jealousy, it comes from envy, and the word envy means to have hatred. So when you envy someone, it's because you have hatred. It isn't that you hate that person, you have hatred. So then anyone that has something you don't have, you're jealous of them. That's your excuse to hate them. But see, how can you hate someone? How can you give someone hate if you don't have it to begin with? So how did the hate come? Rivals. As you were growing up, you had to fight with your sisters, your brothers. You had to fight with everybody for everything. And someone, even though you got treated better than one of your sisters or brothers, someone else got treated better than you. So the rivalry started. And that's why you still fight with your brothers and sisters. And it isn't amazing that after we all grow up, the rivalry continues. If your brother gets something, then you want to do something. Well, you want to prove to your mama, I was better than him. I have a better job. I make more money. I'm not a drunk. He is. I'm not. If it isn't on the positive, it's on the negative. Why? Because the rivalry continues. As a matter of fact, psychiatrists, in their infinite lack of wisdom, say this is a phenomenon called sibling rivalry. You idiot. What do you mean sibling rivalry? Just rivalry, period. It's jealousy. It's a spirit. because they hate. Now, how does this, so that you can know if you have it, how does it make you feel? See, you have feelings, so now I'm going to tell you how it feels. Because you don't understand English. You don't want to hear this, so have a feel. Envy or jealousy means a feeling of discontent and ill will because of another's advantages, another's possessions, or because the other one has something you want. Which once you get it, you won't want it anyway, but that's not the point. In other words, this individual is never happy because it doesn't matter what they have. See, the minute they have it, then they don't want it because jealousy wants something someone else has. So now all you have to do, husbands, to try to placate this terrorist, is give her what she wanted and didn't have. Now the minute she has it, she won't want it anymore. Now she'll want something else she doesn't have. And that's why marriages, by the way, get in trouble, because she's always buying. She always needs something else. Why? Because she has a jealous spirit. She always wants just, well, they got one. And they have one. And the lady on the TV said it was good. And the commercial said, it doesn't matter, whatever excuse, you got to have it. So the minute you have it, then you don't want it. Remember when you went out and bought that car, and you got in there and it smelled like a new car, and boy, you felt so, you know, boy, I'd love to have a new car. And then you drive it for a couple weeks, and then this bill comes in for the $8 million payment you have to make, of which $1.98 goes to principal, and the rest goes to interest, which means your children will inherit this contract, and your children's children will end up paying, and when this car is rust, you will still have payments to make. All of a sudden, you're not so thrilled with that car anymore. Don't lie to me. I've seen a lot of you come and say, oh, look what the Lord gave me, new car. It wasn't a month later you were kicking the tires and cussing it because something happened. Don't lie to me. I've seen it. Well, what happened? The minute you have it, you no longer want it. You see how jealousy has you in a trap? Do you see how it works with drugs? It's all you can say. I got to have a thing. I got to have it. And then the minute you've got it and you start coming down on, bam, I hate my pusher. I have to spend the money. My wife's going to be upset. My husband, how am I going to hide this from him? How am I going to pay these bills, the bill collectors? What happened? Well, once you had the high, you didn't want it anymore, did you? Because now you start realizing what it's costing you. See, that's the problem with this spirit of jealousy. It's never satisfied. Because it always wants what it doesn't have. Now, the minute it has it, see, there's only one category that's important to jealousy. What I don't have. Now, whatever is there in what I don't have is what I want. Now, here's a category that means nothing to jealousy. What I have. So now if you take what you don't have, which you want so desperately, and put it here and now you have it, then you say, I want this. I want that. Well, why? Because I ain't got it. And now you are off for the rest of your life. And there's two ways to live this way. The pusher, the one who keeps supplying your need and always giving you what you don't have in hopes of trying to keep you happy. And I don't know of any drug addict that loves their pusher. They need them, but they don't love them. They hate them, as a matter of fact. They got to have them. Now, the one who pushes, the one who fulfills your need. Now, you said, wife, ain't no man going to be my head. And the husband says, ain't no woman going to be my head, and that no preacher going to be my head, and Jesus ain't going to be my head. I ain't going to have nobody head over me. Oh, really? What do they call on the street? What do they call their pusher? Their head. Because he's the one that supplies them. So let me tell you something. The one that supplies you with what you want controls you. That's why I don't give you what you want. I could be like every other church whatever denomination you go in there and they say, oh, you're wonderful and God loves you. And sweetheart, it's that beast's fault. It's your husband. Why, he is a beast from the pit of hell. And then the husband will come later on and say, oh, may I talk to you? Yes. And you'll say, it's that hag from hell that you have. Why, Brother Guacamole, you know, we got to stick together. She's so unreal. She's from hell, that woman. Why, after she left the church, the police had put a ticket on her broom. Well, what do? They tell everybody what they want to hear, and then you become addicted to them. Oh, that's a wonderful church. That's a wonderful denomination. Well, why is it so wonderful? Because they never tell you what's wrong with you, whore. That's why. Or you either, whoremonger. They won't tell you what's wrong with you. Because you see the little basket. We say, let's play a tisket, a tasket, a green and yellow basket. I wrote a letter to my mom, and I forget the rest of it. But see, I don't play a tisket, a tasket here. I don't give a damn what you put in there. I don't care if you do, and I don't care if you don't. See, what you give me, I don't need nothing you got. You need what I've got, or you wouldn't be here. You're here because you don't know what to do. And now that we hit you right between your green eyes,
right.
Spirit of jealousy, you're upset. That's good, but I want you to know that's not you. That's your whore spirit. That's your whore spirit says, isn't he going to give me something for what I'm doing? For your smiles and your approval? I have to jump through a hoop? Forget it. I'm not giving you anything. I don't want to buy anything from you. What I have is free. Because that's the way I got it. Free. So you see, this evil spirit, this jealous spirit, will never, ever let you be happy. Never. You will look in the mirror, and you'll be unhappy with yourself. I want a new dress. I want this. And the minute you got it, it doesn't do it. And then you want something else, and something else, and something else. And it never, never does it. The spirit of jealousy is killing you. And on your trek, you say, well, I'm going to use more force. See, jealousy and hatred will try to force. Look at children. They'll fight tooth and nail over junk, toys, the way we all started. But you see, what will happen is you'll never be happy. You'll never be able to be placated with anything. And all of your life, you will have one burning desire to have something that you don't have. And the only way that you can keep that desire alive, the only way you can keep that spirit alive, and I'm going to quit, here's how you kill the jealous spirit in your family. Somebody, husband or wife, hopefully it'll be the husband, somebody has to have the presence of mind and the openness of heart to trust me for just 1 week, 7 days, and stop being a rival and see if that doesn't get rid of the jealous spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you what'll happen. When that jealous spirit leaves, it might take the person with it, but it'll be out of your life. That's why I don't fight with you, and that's why I don't try to convince you, and I'm not going to try to convert you. I'm not going to try to change you. I'm not into changing. See, I don't change babies. It's a disgusting task. And God didn't call me to change babies. Now, I know in the churches they say, oh, brother, you need conversion. Maybe so, but I'm not going to convert you. I'm not going to change you. That's a dirty, disgusting job. And it's not up to me to do. You're the one that dirtied you. You know whose job it is? You want to change, it's your job to change. My job is to tell you how. And I'm trying to tell you why you ain't never going to change until you deal with one basic spirit, jealousy. Now, you're going to see that right in the middle, Sunday, the spirit of whoredoms. That's when you get to the Slosson cutout. You get another chance there. Because then when things get so bad, I'm going to show you how there's a way out. But if you don't, you fall back in again. and you start the cycle all over again. Never knowing, and you think love is going to do it. You think you can change and give jealousy what it wants, and that'll make it happy. Never, 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 never. You have to stop being a rival. No rival, no jealousy. No jealousy, no wrong spirit. No wrong spirit. Instead of the spirit of Antichrist, you have the spirit of Christ. But you see, Sunday we're going to get to that point where you're going to have to make a decision. And you go out in the world and they tell you, oh, we can help you. Yes, we can help you. Oh, thank God. It'll be $90 an hour and we can help you. Well, $90 an hour, you'll feel better afterwards. Take a 20 and go down to Broadway. The relief is going to be just as temporary. And she probably ain't going to be as ugly as your psychiatrist either. Temporary relief. Why? Because they are buying. It's buy and pay. I'll make you feel better. You give me something I want. Well, I know we legitimize by saying, oh, it's psychiatric help. Is it? How come ladies, they say, oh, but Brother Reuben, you don't understand. This is psychiatric help. We get relief from this. Well, what if your husband decided to go down to Broadway and get some relief? That wouldn't be psychiatric help, in your opinion, would it? See what a perverse mind you have? What you want is temporary relief. And what happens, and this happens all the time, you and I both know it. Whoever you hire will tell you what you want to hear. Your lawyer will tell you what you're right. His lawyer will tell him he's right. Your psychiatrist will tell you he's the problem or you're the problem. And you know how they decide? They look at the family. I know this. I talk to them all the time. They look at the family and they say, the wife, does she have the wallet? Who writes the checks? Who controls the money? Bingo! You're right. Isn't it amazing that in all these sessions, the one that controls the money is always right? Sounds like a whore and a whorette, isn't it? You're just buying is all you are. So what do they do? They say, well, I didn't like that, so I want a second opinion. So they go and hire someone else. They don't like that either. So they keep hiring opinions until finally someone tells them what they want to hear, and they say, ah, that's the truth. Yeah. And you want me to do that for you? Yeah. See, that's why people change. That's why people change churches. They want another opinion, and another opinion, and another opinion, until finally they find a place where they tell them what they want to hear. And then they say, oh, this is the truth of God. This is the revelation of God. Why would God give revelation to a whore? Because that's what you want to do. You want to buy. Oh, yes, I'll make donations, and if you don't settle down, I won't give anymore. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. If I have to get a job to pay the rent, it's all right. I'll partition a little corner there, and we'll live back there. I've done it before. You think I'm going to put on high heels and a slit dress up to here to please you? You must be out of your mind. Mm-mm. No, you're going to get the truth, or you're not going to get anything. And remember, it all starts with jealousy. And every time you call me, check yourself out. You want to be my rival immediately. Every time you call me, you already have the problem figured out. You know the answer. You know who's wrong. You know everything. Now, let's fight about it. Come on. Wait till Sunday. This is going to make a whole lot more sense. And you're going to see yourself more than you did tonight. I know you saw enough. You're going to go home and throw away all your slit skirts, aren't you? Yes, all the mascara is going to go out the window. It had nothing to do with that. It's a desire to buy temporarily. temporary relief. Buy temporary relief. You buy drugs for temporary relief, cigarettes, temporary relief, caffeine, temporary relief, anger, temporary relief. It's all temporary relief. It's an addiction. It's whoredoms. It's buying pleasure. And that's all wrong. But it all begins with jealousy. We have to remove the rivals from the family and take your opinion, put it in the trash can. If we have to buy another trash can for her opinion, we'll buy another one. And then there's only one opinion in the family, which says this book says. And if it isn't in the book, we don't do it. I don't care what you think. I don't care what your husband thinks. I don't even care what I think. If we can't find it in the book, it's wrong. And if we find it in the book, it's right. What a simple way to live. This is the law. Don't fight the law, because the law always wins. We'll have our prayer request now. Hope I didn't scare you off. Expect to see you Sunday. If I don't, I'll go walk in front of your house and honk my horn and see if you come out. That went right over your head, didn't it? Okay. Don't be a honky, in other words. Do you know how that term, do any of you know how that term honky started? Well, you see, during the time when that statement started, it was usually just the very poor were prostitutes. And the prostitutes were always ethnic minorities. And the people that came to be their customers were usually Caucasian. White people, white men. And they used to drive down the street. And as soon as they saw, and they used to walk around, you know, the women, the way they still do. And as soon as they saw the one they wanted, honk, honk. And the minute you heard the honk, that was the way the signal was made. You stopped, got in the car, and you were gone. So then they start getting the term honky. Here comes another honky. Somewhere along the line, it got applied just to people of Caucasian background, but that's not the way that it started. Honky means those that were looking for a prostitute. Those that honk honk, the first road runner, beep beep. That's the way it started. And you see, I see a lot of that even today when people just, hey you, honk honk. That's all they have. They don't, I'll beat you, honk honk. Or they'll throw out some words that I can't use here, and it's just, what it does, it gets the attention. It has no meaning. It's just a threat. It's an invitation. That's all it is. It's a honky looking for a prostitute, someone to give them what they want in exchange for what they're willing to give up. It'll ruin your life, ruin your marriage, ruin everything you have. And the only answer I know of is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Sherman, would you close the service in prayer?